it shifts priorities. I think that's the biggest thing. It starts in day one.
I'm MK Anderson, and this is First 100 Days. A podcast where we discuss the idea that if the first 100 days of a presidency are so important, they're likely to be important for anybody else's career and life moves. We'll talk to CEOs, first-time parents, startup bros, and more to discover if the first 100 days are really that important. Today we're chatting with Ge Wang, owner, founder, creative director of ESQ Clothing, which makes bespoke garments, aka really, really beautiful suits for all sorts of events. But today I'm excited to chat with him about his first 100 days as a parent alongside being an entrepreneur. So hey Ge, how's it going?
It's going great. How are you?
Just dandy, you know. I've become very, very aware of the fact that I whistle when I use an S, and so the word suits is going to be, I'm sure, very frustrating for everybody today.
Now,
so.
Now I'm going to think about, now I can't stop thinking about.
Awesome. Well, for everyone listening, do you mind giving a quick little background as to what, I mean, I gave you a bunch of titles there, but what does that actually mean? And especially when it comes to your day-to-day, you know, roles.
Like Father of Dragons and Kingslayer. No. Yeah. So what it really is, fancy and everything together, is I'm just an entrepreneur. So I started this company started ESQ, where we do high-end custom suiting, shirting, anything really suiting or suiting and shirting related. And I kind of wear a lot of hats. So whether that is from just running the business top down to handling things on the operational side, to managing staff, to payroll, to selling personally, to taking measurements, to making garments. I kind of dabble in a little of everything.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why. But what I really enjoy, I guess, and my, I guess the official title is president and creative director.
Okay.
I really enjoy the creative side of it and being able to help create, you know, bring these ideas of, hey, I want to look like this, and bringing that into fruition.
Awesome. So then when you say you're the creative director, what are some of those, what does that mean in terms of suits? I'm sure, you know, like you said, it's the fun, creative visual parts of it, but what does that mean in day-to-day roles?
It's fun because we get to, or at least I get to pick and choose like how we want our clients to look to a certain extent. For example, a big reason why I got into this, and I'm sure we'll dive into this more, but a big reason why I got into this was when I was a lawyer and having to get a custom suit myself, I just wasn't happy with the product because everything kind of just, it didn't look Italian, didn't look British. It just kind of looked blah.
Yeah.
and so my side of, I guess, the creative design side of it is having set silhouettes. For example, like when we have an English silhouette, that our clients want an English style suit. I mean, it looks like it's from Savile Row. That's mm-hmm. kind of like what I get to do, and we get to pick and choose like which kind of garments we want our garments to replicate. And we have like really unique cuts for every kind of build. I kind of get to have a lot of say in the direction and the brand and all that. So. That's the fun side of it. So I guess that encompasses creative director, but, mm-hmm. But yeah, that's a part of what I do.
So then how long have you been kind of in this role that you're currently in, where, you know, your systems and what you do every day when you come into work, you know, like how long has that been a part of your daily life?
We're going on 7 years now, or going on seven, almost 8 years now. I started this in 2012. It's always been kind of a part of me. Now it's, when I started, it was really just myself. And mm-hmm. I would see clients in my apartment at the time. We had this room that was kind of segmented out that was supposed to be used as a den, but we kind of built that out into a showroom.
Nice.
The
Chicago den where people try to,
yeah,
try to have other roommates and
yeah,
then,
yeah, yeah.
But you guys just put suits in there instead.
Yeah. So I kind of started there. My my wife, then girlfriend, wife now, she would, when we had clients over, she kind of go hide in the bedroom with the dogs and the whole thing. But I mean, I've literally done it all, I guess. Now it's kind of, it's scaled back to a certain extent where most of my day-to-day is big picture stuff and trying to figure out how we can grow this business.
Nice.
But I do still do a little bit of everything.
Cool. I mean, and that's just part of being an entrepreneur and, you know, the first person to start it, right?
Yeah.
It's hard to let go of some of those tasks because it's hard to like write down the systems, right? Because you're like, I know how to do it. So, you know.
And I'm glad. This is kind of why I'm super excited to talk about the whole entrepreneurship side and also becoming a parent, because it really teaches you that you need to rely, that you need to, and that you can rely on other people and that you can't do it all by yourself. So that's honestly one of my biggest takeaways from becoming a parent.
Well, cool. I mean, I think that goes great, because the next question I was going to ask was, you know, well, you mentioned it was your girlfriend, now wife, and so now you all have a child. And it's not like those are generally a surprise. So you kind of had some idea like, okay, we got 9 months until this happens. So what was your preparation as you approached, you know, the eventual due date?
Well, for all those, everyone who has a child that's listening will know everything that I'm saying and have gone through it all. Those who haven't, it's kind of like, it's hard to explain, and it's hard to take advice from other people because you never really know until you experience it firsthand. But I just remember like leading up, yes, there was a lot of time to digest, and there's almost way too much time. Cause when you find out you're pregnant, you're like, oh, and then it's a big shock and everyone's super excited. And then a month passes and then 2 months passes. And it's really closer to a 10-month process than 9 months. So it's, it's a lengthy period of time that as the male part, I mean, she's going through a lot, obviously, but like as a male, there's really not that many changes for you. Kind of just like a waiting game. I never realized, I didn't think about there being that much of a difference until the baby came. So I didn't really prepare. Well, I mean, we did like classes and we prepared the house and stuff like that. But in terms of the business side, I probably should have thought about this better, but I didn't really like, hey, how much can I work afterwards? Or like, I didn't really think about that nearly as much as I should have. It kind of just hit me.
Dang.
Yeah.
Then what happened? You know, like, did you have expectations or goals? I mean, did you think like, oh, I'm going to take 3 months off for paternity leave? I mean, yeah, I guess, you know, baby happened. Then what?
Yeah. That sounds great and all. my wife, who's at Deloitte, had like 5 months of paid leave, which is.
Wow. That's nice.
Yeah. I think, my son, his name's Teddy. He was born like on March 8th, I believe, which is a Saturday.
Okay.
I was in the office on Monday, albeit for a short amount of time. But there's no, like when you own your own business, there's really no, even when you're not working, you're working. There's always something on your mind. And I know you can relate. It's just, it's an ongoing cycle. It's great that you work for, like, you get some flexibility in getting to work for yourself, but at the same time, there's no really days off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, every person you meet, you know, is an opportunity to tell them what you do.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Right. So, I was in the office a couple days later.
So dang. Then what do you think was unique then to the fact that you were also an entrepreneur and dad? I mean, do you think that there was a difference in how you did those first 100 days? I mean, let's, you know, be punny or not punny, but, you know, like, was there something unique to that versus someone else who might have, you know, also worked for Deloitte?
I think it all comes down to a balance. And I think that's what I've, in retrospect and looking back, I think the first 100 days really was about balance and how to, and I probably could have balanced it out better. It's kind of a tough thing. Being a and this is for all the dads out there, for being a dad in the first 100 days, it's not something that really gets talked about a lot, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Which I can see that.
Which is completely understandable because we don't do anything. Like we're not. I mean, we're not like we can't produce breast milk. Like we can't.
Right, yeah.
You know, like we can feed the baby here and there and change his and her diaper here and there. But like really, mom is the primary caretaker for the most part. And to that end, like all the moms get out there get all of like have so much respect for me because raising a child, either as a single mother or as a part of a couple is not easy. But for the dads like that are going to work and stuff, honestly, you really can't do a whole lot for a baby in their first 100 days. Like, mm-hmm. I think it's a mom heavy thing. For me, I tried to help out as much as I could, but again, there wasn't a whole ton for me to do, but I wanted to be around the baby. And I think just wanting to be around made me realize that, hey, I'm not going to necessarily work less. I'm going to find ways to do my job, but not necessarily being physically present in my office, or that I can do certain things at different odd times of the day. So just kind of spreading a typical, you know, day, say from 10 o'clock till 6 o'clock, but just spreading that out, because you know the baby will wake up at say 4:30 or 5, and then yeah, you'll tend to him for a little while, he'll fall back asleep. Babies sleep a lot, especially when they sleep a lot, which is nice. But like just breaking that time up and like, hey, I'm gonna work for a few hours now, then I'm going to go do this, then I'm going to come back to this work. And then it's just kind of like a mismatch or a mishmash of like finding time to do things. Everyone is sleep deprived.
Yeah. Fun. Sounds fun.
It is. But I think part of it is learning how to do things at different times. But also the other part of, for me, a big, huge learning point, has been how to delegate and how to trust other people to do their job. So now I recently, we're up to four staff now, which is, cool. I mean, we're a small company, but being able to delegate to other people and trusting them that they're going to do a great job. And luckily I have great staff that do that for me where I don't have to worry. So it's kind of been, this is a takeaway I got a while ago, but I've really started implementing it more and more into my life. But I read there's a book called Shoe Dog by Phil Knight. It's about the Nike founders.
Oh, I think I've heard of that.
Mm-hmm. It's biography or autobiography, but throughout all of his takeaways, and it's a fascinating story, especially for an entrepreneur. And especially like selling a product like I do. Mm-hmm. So it was a fascinating story. And my biggest takeaway from that was you can't do it all by yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I've really taken that to heart. And I'm like, and I realized that I can't do it all by myself. If I want to really take this where I want it to go, I'm going to need help. And don't be afraid to ask for help or pay for help, because the right people that are going to take you there it's going to be worth it.
What was the first thing that you ended up delegating? Or, because I know for me, I also believe that, right? Like, I don't know what I don't know, and I'm good with outsourcing, but sometimes it is hard to be like, oh man, like there goes all that money, you know? But I'm sure in your case, you were like, well, I don't actually have the time, or like I have to go home, or I'm actually working from home. I can't be at the physical space.
You're always fighting with, can I do it, or do I have like, or should I pay someone else to do it, or could I do it myself? And I think I can do a lot of things myself, but I realize that like I don't have the time to, or other people can do a better job. It's always kind of like fighting that. For example, there's certain things I still hold on to. I still hold on to like our entire. I've done every iteration of our website since probably like the first two versions when I outsourced and I didn't really like them. And now I've been doing my own website for like the last 8 years. But just being able to delegate other things, you know, like, hey, I'm going to put you on weddings and you're just going to handle our wedding vendors and how to create new relationships there. And then we have someone else who's in charge of hiring now, and kind of like just breaking things up where, yeah, I'm still making the decision at the end of the day. So like if we have a potential hire, yes, I'm going to meet with them before we like sit down and present an offer or not present an offer. But we have systems in place now where we're going to filter everything through. So I'd only have to deal with kind of that last step, which is really nice.
And how did you guys set up those systems then? I mean, I'm sure it was you from the get-go, right? Who started that process?
It was, yes, that and also hiring the right people. I brought on a senior director of, what will we call that? Like business operations or business development. And she's been really great and just kind of having an understanding of, hey, this is what's on your plate right now. And how can we alleviate some of these things where certain people can take over different things? So now we've kind of like all carved out a good role in our business at ESQ about what each individual person does. At times we can all be wearing the same hat. We can all be wearing different hats. We all kind of know what everything, a little bit about everything and how everything works. But at the end of the day, like we have areas that we're good at and we specialize at, and that's kind of what we focus on. And that's kind of how we've broken it up.
So when did you recognize that you needed to make those hires? Was that before or after Teddy was born?
This was before. This was probably a few years ago. Yeah. I've noticed it more and more. Just because, again, like there's only a finite amount of time now that he's almost a year old, which is crazy because time flies.
I was going to say happy birthday to him soon. Soon.
He's almost a year old. So now it's like, again, the first 100 days of being a dad is like, I mean, they sleep a lot and might get like a reaction here or there, but you don't really know how much they actually know. Now that he's getting close to a year, approaching a year, like there's so much fun now, and it's like a whole new ball game. So now I'm like trying to stay, or not stay at home, but I try to get as much time as I can with him, while being able to get my work done. So my days typically, I'm typically not, unless I have clientele like that where I'm doing personal fittings, I try not to stay on the operational side more than probably a half day, just so I can, you know, spend my time with Teddy.
So then how much would you say being a dad has influenced your actual work life, or not work life balance, but just your work systems and rhythms? And because like you mentioned, you know, that first 100 days, maybe that wasn't the biggest indicator, but eventually it's had to have influenced how you approach entrepreneurship and your business in general.
It shifts priorities. I think that's the biggest thing. It starts in day one. I mean, the amount, it's hard to put into words, but the amount of joy you kind of experience when you first see your child is something that, I don't know, I can't compare to anything else. And people have told me that before, but I never really,
you don't know till you know.
Yeah, you don't know until you know. It's really just a unique feeling, and priorities completely shift. It's no longer about you. It's no longer about like if you have like if you're with someone else, it's not really just about you guys anymore. There's something bigger now. So if priorities shift, and then that's when it also kind of clicks of, hey, balance shifts a little bit too. Mm-hmm. Where how do you work as efficiently as you can, but in a different, but just in a different way, or more efficiently, I guess.
And what were some of the ways that you implemented that? I mean, especially if you say that the priorities, at least, you know, all of a sudden day one, you're like, oh my God, wow. I mean, I don't have a child, so I don't know, but I'm going to assume you're like, oh man, this is happening now.
It's kind of like before I would work at all hours of the day, just regardless of when it is. And oftentimes I'm sending emails or I'm talking to people, you know, well beyond 8 or 9 o'clock in the evening. Now it's kind of setting boundaries to a certain extent, being saying, hey, this is my time that I'm going to block off to hang out with my family. And like this is typical on most days, between say 5 p.m. and 7 p.m., I'm just not by my phone. And before that was like that would never happen. Like I'm always contactable. And now pretty much from say like, yeah, pretty much every day from 5 to 7 o'clock, I'm not going to work. It's just like, that's just my time to be with my family. I try to like keep that, because he wakes up from his nap around 5 and then he goes back to bed around 8, and his bedtime's 8. So between like that time, maybe 5 and 7, because sometimes we'll go to the gym and get a workout in, but like between 5 and 7, that's just like our time. Like I try not to let other things interfere with that, no matter what.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that's been beneficial for your business as a whole? I mean, not even just your own life, but do you think that's made your business function smoother or just differently?
For me, it has. I think it forced me to not, like, I can't really put things off anymore. So it's not like, oh, I can just do this later in the day. So it's kind of from this time, I know that I want to spend time with my family. So it kind of just like forces me to finish what I need to finish beforehand. So again, I guess it comes back to like an efficiency question of how efficient can I be and how can I get things done at other times of the day, so I have this open.
Yeah. Well, then do you think you had made any goals for yourself before being a dad, or do you think those just came after this happened? Because I know you said you didn't think up much preparation, but I'm sure you had to have thought of something, right? Did you hit those goals, I guess? Because I know, you know, again, like you mentioned, you don't know until you know. So all that could just be thrown out the window.
Yeah, it's not, I don't know. I didn't really make goals thinking with the intention of like having a child. What was kind of not something we thought about before was like, hey, we need to save for like preschool, because preschool like it's insane. Like if you want to stay downtown Chicago and you want to go to a good preschool, you're easily looking at 30 grand a year.
Oh my God.
Yeah. So we're looking at things like preschool, like we got to save up for just preschool and then subsequently school after that. And it's just, babies are very expensive. So now like before it was like, hey, you know, like we have some money in the bank, but now it's just like, oh, you can never save enough. So it's just like,
right.
Yeah. How do we do that? So certainly goals there change drastically.
Mm-hmm.
But
did you just immediately go call a financial planner and we're like, oh man, okay, how do we structure the business this way?
Well, on the business side, it's like, how can we grow the business? Certainly. But I guess on the personal side, it's just like, all right, let's not spend frivolously. We have, again, there's more priorities just between myself and my wife. So we have to keep another human being alive.
I can't see your face, but I feel like you're just like, oh my God.
Because I have plenty of friends who, and we thought this too when we got our dog, be like, oh, we have like a family member that we have to keep a family member alive, and we have to keep, but it's so different than like a pet. People are like, you know, and I get it, because I came, obviously I was there before, but We have two dogs, and before they got literally all the attention, I don't think either of them, I mean, it feels bad to say, but like they get nowhere near the attention they used to get. They get right. Maybe 5% of the attention they used to get.
You're like, you're still fed. It's fine. It's okay.
Yeah, you're alive.
Okay. Yeah. You are now a dad, and you have to keep this child alive. And part of that, and I know that this is a big thing that some of my pals who have kids say, is it's not even just like keeping them alive, but now you have to think about the values and the morals and the driving forces. And do you think entrepreneurship is going to be something you want? Because I know I've listened to some other stuff that you talked about, and your family is pretty entrepreneurial as well. Yeah. And do you think that's going to be something that you want? You know, are you thinking about that as a dad now? Like, okay, well, now I have a kid, you know, family business. This is something we might do together.
I don't know. I think it's still way too early to tell. I think it's still way too early to tell. Cause I've gone, this is my second career, and it's really hard to tell what someone is good at and what they enjoy doing. I think, my biggest thing that I love my parents for is they kind of just let me do what makes me happy.
Mm-hmm.
And even though my mother has her own company and my father's got his own law practice, they've been really supportive of me starting my own company, even though I guess they groomed me to take over one of the family businesses.
Mm-hmm.
But they've been incredibly supportive the entire time of just do what you love. And I didn't really think, and honestly, when I started ESQ, I thought of this more as a hobby than an actual full-time job. That,
mm-hmm.
that's obviously changed, but
yeah.
It's just, I think life is short. Just if you get a chance and an opportunity, you should try to do something you love.
So do you think now being a dad has set the tone for the rest of your time as an entrepreneur and career, or do you think it's just now an influential aspect of it?
I think being a dad is more important than anything you do in your career. I think raising, to me, and I'm very, very early in this process, I think grooming your child to be like a good person and a valuable like member of society is the like hardest job, but probably the most rewarding job that you'll ever have. I think that's more important. That's going to be more important than how big I can grow my company.
And did you think that was going to be the case?
No.
Or
no.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Some people are like, I am ready. I am ready to just shift priorities now. I hate my job so much. You know what I mean?
No. And I understand that. But a lot of people, I'm sure it's different for everyone. So I'm not going to speak for everyone. But for me personally, that's kind of been my takeaway, is that priorities have shifted. And this is obviously, I want to create as comfortable a life for him that I can. But at the end of the day, the priorities have shifted. It's not really so much about me anymore.
Dang, I'm really not ready to do that just yet. But I'm really excited for you guys. Yeah. Well, what would you say has been the biggest difference other than priorities? I mean, has it been how you function as a boss, or just the idea that you want to scale? You know, what do you think has been the biggest difference you've seen as of yourself as an entrepreneur before parenthood and after parenthood?
Now it's kind of just full speed ahead. There aren't really any more days off as an entrepreneur, because again, to provide the best life for him, and I still think of myself as young.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of just being able to grind right now and trying to provide the best life for him that I can. So in terms of what's changed, it's kind of just more of a sense of urgency of, hey, let's get this going. So we're currently in the process of hiring, trying to hire more sales staff and trying to grow this thing. at a more rapid pace, so we can obviously grow ESQ, because we have a great product. It's just not a ton of people know about us yet.
So, oh my God, everyone needs to know. When I walked in there, I was in awe. I was like, this is amazing. Everybody needs a custom suit yesterday. Like, this is phenomenal.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But yeah, we would love to build more brand awareness, and we would love to grow the business, but it's kind of more personally, just because of my personal situation, is kind of just now there's more, a little bit more of sense of urgency.
Mm-hmm.
And excitement. We went on a vacation in December with my family, and I actually did get to unwind a little bit, because over the holidays and stuff we're closed from Christmas till New Year's.
Mm-hmm.
So I got to unwind a little bit. That was great for me, because we never really get to do that. Mm-hmm. At least I don't get to do that. And I came back, and I mean, I think everyone on the team is focused. We're ready to like really attack this year, and with a sense of urgency, and kind of get after it. So it's been exciting. It's been a great January. I mean, it's been a good like beginning of the year, and we hope we can keep it going.
I'm excited. I mean, I think I heard you guys talking about beta testing women's suits, or at least women's cut suits, right?
Yes.
What's that look? I'm just like, I'm now selfishly curious, because I said, I want one. So what's happening with that?
People, this is a question people have asked. Women have asked me probably for like, this is on 4 or 5 years now, for an ongoing 4 or 5 years now. And 5 years ago, I literally said we would never do it. And never say never, right? And
here
we are testing it out, because we have a great menu. Great relationship with our tailors. I say manufactured, but it's actually my factory.
Mm-hmm.
We have our group of tailors, and we have the capability to do women's clothing, unlike most custom places. Because, for example, it's very hard to teach someone to sew something who's been sewing something in a straight line for decades. Tell them to sew curves, like on a curved line all of a mm-hmm. sudden. So that's kind of the difference between men's clothing and women's clothing, is that mm-hmm. men's clothing is pretty angular and straight, and women's clothing is not.
Is not, yeah. Well, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. The pain points of our lives, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. But where we kind of get that flexibility is that, we have a great designer on our team who specializes purely in women's clothing.
So that's cool.
And he cuts beautiful patterns. So that's one. But the other side of it is, because we hand sew everything, we're not confined to a sewing machine. So it's a lot more flexible. It's a lot easier and more flexible for someone to sew with their hand and go like in a curved pattern than go mm-hmm. straight. So it lends us a lot of flexibility there. And that's why we can actually do it and create something that actually looks nice, as opposed to when you get a, not to bash anyone, but in particular, but like, I've seen some of these custom, quote unquote, custom women's jackets, and they are a disaster. I don't know.
Yeah, that's why women don't wear as many, you know, suits. Yeah. Honestly, yeah. Well, I'm so excited about that.
We're not there yet. We're not there yet, but we're testing it out.
I have faith. I'm excited.
It's spearheaded by my wife Alex, and then like we have. Because she always wants, she's like, oh, you get this nice coat. I want it too.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then we have female staff now, so we obviously want them to represent us. So now it's kind of, we're testing it.
Well, that's super exciting. Like I said, I am so excited about it. One of my sisters works in a law firm, and I was like, this is what you need, Noreen. Like, this is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
So we're pumped about that. But kind of, I mean, we got a little bit off, I guess, the topic part, but to wrap it up really quick, you know, if you had any advice for anybody who was an entrepreneur going to be a parent, wants to be a parent, is already a parent, and maybe just it hasn't hit them yet, what would you say?
There's a lot of unknowns, and it's kind of, I tapped into my parents as a resource a ton, because they're entrepreneurs. I would say, and I, this is kind of true of entrepreneurship in general, and this is kind of like what we talked about a long time ago, is just don't be afraid to reach out to other people and just talk. I think there's, you never know everything. I don't know. I think I know maybe 7% of what there is to know in the terms of like men's suiting. I think there's another 93% for me to learn. Like there's so much more that you can always take in and you can always learn. So I think just talk to as many people as you can, just pick people's brains. And I have friends who have recently had children. I kind of just be like, hey, let's go grab a beer. And like, we just kind of talk and like, so tell me what it's like and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Of course, it's nothing like the real thing. Like the real thing still hits you like a ton of bricks just because it's the real thing. But,
right.
But still, it's great to have those, whatever resources you can use and just kind of just talk to people about it. I'm luckily I have some of mentors who are in like a similar situation as me where they're entrepreneurs, and it helps a lot because you kind of get to learn, be like, hey, you know, he'll come meeting short, be like, hey, I gotta go pick up my kids, and it's like, okay, but I'm not there yet. But just kind of like little things of, you realize where your priorities are and you realize that there's time limits on everything. And, just getting to talk to other people, just talk to other people and learn from their experiences.
Awesome. I mean, like we said before, you don't know until you know. So,
yep.
And I've learned that even my friends that do have kids, like they don't know what they're doing. You know, I watch them not know what they're doing. Sometimes I sit there and I'm like, who gave you permission to have children? Like, this is nuts. So awesome. Well, thanks so much for chatting with us today. Where can everyone find you? How can everyone buy everything that you sell? What are the basics of that? I'm like really pulling for you here. I am sold. I'm like everyone I know needs a custom suit.
Well, we are currently moving our physical location, but right now we're at 555 West Jackson Boulevard in the West Loop. We're moving to 180 North LaSalle, which is going to be at LaSalle and Lake. We should be open hopefully by the end of March.
Awesome.
And feel free to check us out. It's esqclothing.com. Same thing. It's ESQ Clothing on all of our social handles, Instagram, Twitter, etc. as well.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much. Thanks for listening to this episode of First 100 Days. Original music by Dan Chmielinski, and feel free to tell your friends. Bye, y'all.